Howdy. I'm so proud to be here. Such a lovely audience, it's a good thing I dressed up. Well, our program will be coming to you tonight in stereo. It hurts in both ears at once. Now, really, some people said they like what I do better than music. In fact, some people said they'd rather hear me sing than eat, and if you were here at supper, you probably heard me eat. All the songs that you'll be hearing tonight have just been released on my new album called Music to Leave the Room By. It's on the Red Seal label. I don't know why they did that, probably because I'm in the red and I sound like a seal. But it's recorded at 300 RPM. Only dogs can hear it. Now, there's some great hits on that album. There's a tender love ballad called I'm Building My Love Nest in the Trees Because You're for the Birds. And who'll ever forget that old Western favorite? He was tall in the saddle till his blister broke. And you've heard that song, I Want a Gal Just Like the Gal That Married Dear Old Dad. I do the Arabic version called Oh, What a Baghdad Head. I'd like to do a number now that was written and inspired by an old girlfriend of mine. Her name was Grinelda Craignasty. Well, she had everything a man would want. Muscles, mustache, crew cut, tattoo. Well, she had the longest nose of any girl I've ever known. Really, her nose was so long she could smoke a Benson and Hedges in the rain without getting it wet. One night she was tossing and turning in her sleep and got her nose stuck in her ear and sneezed and blew her brains out. And the bags under her eyes were so big they made her nose look like a pack horse. I'll tell you, she was so ugly, when she walked in the room, the mice jumped on chairs. She had complexion like a peach, though. Yellow and fuzzy. She had the most charming left eye. I know it was because her right one kept looking at it all the time. I'll never forget the first time we met. It was out in front of the Denver Hilton Hotel. That's where I lived, out in front of the Denver Hilton Hotel. There she was, standing there with flowers in her hair, pots and all. First time I saw her, she was wearing something that really knocked my eyes out. Brass knuckles. She had the awfulest manners of any girl I've ever known. Really, I took her out to eat one night, and when I saw her scratch her back with her fork, I just about dropped a whole handful of mashed potatoes. And she was tall. In fact, she was so tall she could hunt geese with a rake. Well, we don't go together anymore. We split up. We was getting ready to go out on a date one night, and it was pouring rain. And she said, well, if you're going to take me out, you're going to have to call me a taxi. And I said, okay, you're a taxi. And that just tore her up. She went out and drank a gallon of varnish. It killed her, but it gave her a real nice finish. Well, she hit me on the head and she tore my clothes. She blacked my eye and broke my nose. I don't think my gal loves me anymore. She changed her front door lock, you see. And then she sicked her dog on me. I don't think my gal loves me anymore. Well, I caught her in the kitchen, putting arsenic in my tea. And if she doesn't cut it out, I'll think she's mad at me. And when our date last night was through, she said, don't call me, I'll call you. I don't think my gal loves me anymore. Now when I call her on the phone, she answers and says that she's not home. I don't think my gal loves me anymore. She shoves me down the stairs and counts to see how many times I bounce. I don't think my gal loves me anymore. Well, I caught her fooling with the brakes beneath my car today. Why, gee, that's awful nice of her to fix my car that way. She's got a rifle now, I see, and it's pointing right at me. I don't think my gal loves me anymore. I don't think my gal loves me anymore. Thank you for your sympathy. Now, these are songs that the conference group wanted me to do very badly, and that's just the way I'm going to do them. Having a little trouble with my tuning here. If I ever get it in tune, I'm going to weld it. Times like this, I'm glad I don't play a harp. That's all right, my voice will cover it. As you can tell, I sing from my heart. It's a lot easier on my throat. I'd like to do a number now dedicated to our national pastime. Advertising. Well, perhaps there's a lot of new products out on the market perhaps you haven't heard of. They have a new deodorant out now for race car drivers. It's called Pit Stop. And they have a new toothpaste out now that has food particles in it. That's for people who can't eat after every brushing. And I saw a new deodorant out the other day in the drugstore. It's called Vanish. You spray it on and disappear, and no one can tell where the smell's coming from. And, you know, in the market now for the new longer cigarettes, one company has them all beat. They're called Tall Pauls. They're 6 feet long. You can smoke them in bed and keep your feet warm. Now, really, where else but in America could you turn on your radio and hear something like this? Ladies over 500 pounds, are you fat? When you walk down the street, does your shadow feel like a crowd following you? When you're going swimming, do you get harpooned? Are you taller laying down than you are standing up? On a hot day, do you notice people gathering on your shady side? When you come on the scene, does the scene disappear? Well, then, what you need is Flab Off. Now, Flab Off is unlike any other weight reducer. It's not a syrup and a tonic. It's a pill. One pill weighs 5 pounds. We'll give you a ramrod to help you shove it down. If you're one of the first 580,000 customers to send in for this limited offer, we'll send you absolutely free as a consolation prize a giant-sized jar of that new perfume called Evening with Trigger. So just send $25 in the top off your car with a penny postcard to the Tune Wranglers radio station WCKY Cincinnati 1, Ohio. Mercy. As I was walking down the street, a billboard caught my eye. The advertisements written there would make you laugh and cry. The signs were torn and scattered from the storm the night before. And as I read the things they said, well, this is what I saw. Oh, smoke Coca-Cola cigarettes, drink Wrigley's spearmint beer. And kennel ration dog food keeps your wife's complexion clear. Eat chocolate-covered mothballs, they always satisfy. Brush your teeth with Lifebuoy soap and watch the suds go by. When I recovered from the shock, I went upon my way. I'd gone no further than a block in there to my dismay. Another billboard caught my eye, and like the one before, the wind and rain had done its work, and this is what I saw. Oh, sound like a frog with a man in his throat. Take your next vacation in a brand new Frigidaire, and learn to play piano in your winter underwear. And simonize your baby with the Hershey candy bar. See the difference Drano makes in all the movie stars. Well, doctors prove that babies shouldn't smoke till they are 3. And people over 35 take Baz and Lipton tea. And stuff your nose with cottage cheese if you plan to fly. Take a bath in Mr. Clean, it keeps your armpits dry. Thank you very much. I'd like to do a number now for all the children in our audience. I understand there's some folks here who've been to college. I went to college. I took an IQ test, and they found out if my IQ was 2 points lower, I'd be a plant. I majored in psychoceramics. That's a study of crackpots. We had our own fraternity. It was called Alpha Falfa. It was an agricultural fraternity. It's for men who are outstanding in their field. My mama said if I'd be good, she'd send me to the store. She said she'd make some gingerbread if I would sweep the floor. She said if I would make the beds and watch the telephone, she would send me out to get a chocolate ice cream cone. And so I did the thing she said, and then she made some gingerbread. And I went out, just me alone. And then I got my chocolate ice cream cone. Well, coming home, I stubbed my toe upon a big old stone. Now, need I tell you that I dropped my chocolate ice cream cone? A little puppy came along and took a great big lick. And so I hit that mean old dog with just a little stick, and he bit me where I sit down. And he chased me all over town. And now I'm lost, I can't find my home. And all because of a chocolate ice cream cone. Well, as you can tell, I come from the rural part of America. In fact, I just got a letter from home the other day. They had a lot of excitement back there. Had a big fire. Started in the bathroom. Everything was okay. They got it out before it spread to the house. You'll probably notice that I'm looking kind of sad tonight. We had some sad news today. My brother just got run over by a steamroller. He's in the hospital. He's in rooms 29 to 32. We had a feller from the city came to our town one time looking for a job, and he went to the local blacksmith shop and he applied for a job, and the blacksmith said, "Well, can you shoe a horse?" And he said, "Yeah, I think so." And he said, "Shoe that horse, I'll be right back." So a little while later when he came back, here was this horse laying on its back with its four legs sticking up in the air and four new shoes. And the blacksmith just marveled. And he said, "Well, son, now that's a nice shoeing job, but what's wrong with that horse?" And he said, "Well, I've been wondering about that. He's been like that ever since I took him out of the vise." You fellers can explain to the girls what a vice is, besides a bad habit. I mean, I'd like to do a number now from South of the Border. You'll notice that at no time during my playing this evening did my fingers ever leave my hands. Fowler's the name. Stu Fowler. I'm a rooster. Fighting's my racket. Cockfighting. I come all the way from Texas across the burning sands to wet my feathers in the Rio Grande. I've hobbled for miles through Mexico. I've come to kill a big rooster called Rojo. Doing it all for chicken feed. For a country red, Rojo's wild. His fame has spread for many a mile. The hens all cackle when Rojo's around, but Stu Fowler's here to put Big Red down. I'll give them chickens something to cackle about. It's mid-afternoon as I stand in the street of the Spanish town called Los Leghorns Retreat. At the end of the row, a cantina stands. It ain't nothing but a chicken coop. The sign on the front reads La Grande Nesto. And it's there I know I'll find my foe, the fable Rojo. I can hear foul talk coming out of that honky-tonk. I strut down the street, the cock of the walk. I crow for Big Red to come out and talk. then through the doors of the La Grande Nesto, his head erect and his tail feathers low, steps Rojo. I could tell he's a really bad egg. His spurs are long and his eyes are green. An uglier bird I've never seen. He learned to be tough while he's in the pen. But I know his weakness, hens and gin. Then out of that honky-tonk and up to Rojo's side steps the prettiest little dance hall cackler in the West. Roosty Nester. The Southern Fried Feather Duster. Gosh, she's pretty. I'd like to run my hands through that red comb of hers. Then Rojo comes at me in a long, lanky run. Some people gather round to watch the fun. You know, people are the strangest chickens. Bird to bird and beak to beak. I face Rojo and my heart gets weak. I turn and jump and dance about. And then I take off on a run because I done chickened out. I'd like to do a number now about another old girlfriend of mine. Her name was Bertha Sweat. I'll tell you, every girl has the right to be ugly, but she abused the privilege. Her nostrils were so big, kissing her was like driving into a two-car garage. She had so many cavities, she talked with an echo. She was from Texas. Yeah, her father one day called up on the telephone and said, "I'd like to make a long-distance call to New York, please." And the operator said, "That'll be $35. And he said, "$35? Well, I could call hell cheaper than that." She said, "Yes, but that's a local call." There's a yellow rose in Texas, the sweetest on this earth. Her right eye looks at Dallas, her left one at Fort Worth. Her ponytail's a dandy, her hairdo is a prize. But it comes in handy when she's a swishing fly. Her skin is red and fuzzy, it looks just like a peach. I looked her over from head to toe and she had one of each. Her face has fallen arches, it hangs just like a sack. She'd like to have it lifted, but she doesn't have the jack. Oh, the yellow rose of Texas, she looks just like a weed. That one big upper tooth of hers looks like a pumpkin seed. And when she opens up her mouth, it looks just like a rake. Her lips are just like petals, I mean petals on a break. I was working in the garden when I discovered her. I reached for an old tomato, and darling, there you were. You can take your nasty sturtiums and take your violets blue. And while you're at it, take the yellow rose of Texas too. Thank you. This is a terrible thing to do right after you eat. I'd like to do a number now and dedicate it to all those of you who are in our armed services. I was in the Army. believe it or not. I mean, the Army isn't so bad. You know, where else can you lay around in bed till 4:30 in the morning doing nothing? And you hear a lot about the food in the Army. We had a sign in our chow hall that said, "Food is ammunition, so don't shoot the enemy, invite them to dinner." I was standing on the corner of the base one day waiting for the shuttle bus, and this second lieutenant came up and stood there, and he said, "Soldier?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Is that your cigarette butt laying there?" And I said, "No, sir, you can have it. You saw it first." I remember we was getting ready to ship out to go overseas, and our sergeant, who stuttered, marched us down to the pier. And 12 of us marched off the end of that pier before he could say halt. Well, then the captain comes by and he said, "Fall in." And I said, "Sir, I've already been in." And, well, we was out to sea 12 days, and I was sick 12 days. I'm the only one that ever crossed an ocean by rail. In fact, there were several of us hanging over the side, and somebody comes by and says, "Hey, is the Brigadier up yet?" And I said, "Man, if I ate it, it's up." He said, "Well, you got kind of a weak stomach, haven't you?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know. I'm throwing as far as the rest of these guys." Well, then the captain called us all together and he said, "Men, we're going over the top at 4. And that's when I showed my true colors. And I said, I went up to the captain. I said, "Sir, I'd like a furlough." He said, "What's the matter with you? Haven't you got any red blood in your veins?" And I said, "Yes, sir, and I don't want to see any of it either." Well, we went over the top at 4 and hit the beach. And the biggest problem was there weren't enough trees for all the officers. Then somebody hollered, "Fire at will," and everybody thought I was Will. The war made me a nervous wreck, as you can plainly see. For back in 1941, they almost drafted me. I'm just a drafted volunteer. They put me in the paratroops. I made a jump one day. My chute, it didn't open, but I come down anyway. I'm just a drafted volunteer. They said I'd have to learn to swim. They sent me off to school. Then they made me a lifeguard around the motor pool. I'm just a drafted volunteer. The mess hall serves a balanced meal, at least that's what they claim. Then I found out just what they mean, the beans all weigh the same. I'm just a drafted volunteer. I went to see my chaplain, as all good soldiers will. When I told him my troubles, we both went over the hill. I'm just a drafted volunteer. And then they made a movie for all the world to see. It's all about my Army life. They named it after me. They called it Old Yeller. Old Yeller, the drafted volunteer.